I think it's just so wonderful how the Lord always fits things together. When I was preparing for this message, I had a couple of themes in mind, and I'd already got a long way down preparing for one of them. And I just felt the Lord drop into my heart that I needed to share what I'm going to share today, which I've actually shared before, but I shared it with the Bikers Church in November last year. So I've adapted it to where I believe the Lord is, what the Lord is saying to us here and now. During the last several weeks, Andre's been talking, mainly Andre, Dion also spoke, and Sonica spoke as well. And mainly the thrust has been about our identity in Christ. In other words, who we are because of what Christ has done for us, how the Lord looks at us, who we are. And it's been great to be established in that. But I think now is the time to actually start maybe looking a little bit out. Why has the Lord chosen us? Why are we the apple of his eye? Why does he love us so much? Why is he interested in us? Why does he want to talk to us? And that's basically what I'm going to be talking about. When I talk about a key to the manifest victory for the church, I'm talking about prayer and intercession. That's one of the keys. I just hope that nobody's going to say, oh no, another boring teaching about prayer. One of the things that I've learned over the years, I don't consider myself to be gifted or anointed in the area of prayer or intercession, and yet I have over and over and over through the years seen prayer answered, my own prayer, as well as the prayer of many other people. Diana is much more gifted in the area of prayer and intercession, and she actually testified after the last missions trip to Mozambique of how the Lord had placed on her heart to pray and intercede for that team, and the things that she prayed when the team came and gave the report back, the feedback session, over and over and over again, the things that they had experienced, the things that they'd learned, and what God had actually done had been things that she'd prayed for, which is just, again, a clear indication of the power of prayer. So, there's a quote I actually want to, I haven't got it up on the thing, there's a quote that's attributed to Alexander the Great, and I want you to keep it in mind while we're talking today. He's said to have said, I am not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I'm afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. I really like that quote because so often I feel like a sheep or a lamb. And in fact, I am. But I'm led by the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. And that's the army that we're talking about today. Okay, so we're going to go to slide two. I think one of the things that we probably all agree on is that we probably are living in the end times. All the signs of the times are pointing it to it. There's an increase in what Jesus spoke about as being birth pangs, as being the signs of the end of the age. There is an increase in earthquakes and natural disasters. The earth is groaning with the weight of the sin that is on her. But there are many things that are affecting the church, or there are many manifestations of this in the church. You can see that the church is under attack. And if we look at a couple of the things that I've listed there, one of the things is that there's an attack on truth. You'll see that people are speaking about the gospel in terms that are actually not true. People speak about Jesus as being less than who he is. People speak about the cross as being less powerful than it is, less significant than it is. So there's a watering down of the simple truth of the gospel, the simple truth of the scriptures in church. That's one of the aspects. The next one, people are being killed or persecuted. If you think about the number of Christians who are being killed for their faith today as we speak, all over the world, people are being murdered because they are confessing that Jesus Christ is their Lord. That is a sign of the end of the times. And there's only one thing that we can do to change that, and that is to pray and intercede. The next one, people are suffering attack. If you think about your own life, I can look around this room and I can see so many people who I know can tell me that they have stood in spite of what has been thrown against them. There's massive attack against the church as a body, as a whole, as the bride of Christ, but also as us, as individual members of that body. The next one. People are taking offense and leaving the church. I'm sure we've all heard of or seen that happen, where somehow we've embraced a lie. We haven't dealt with our offense. And instead of dealing with offense, we've left the church. That's the kind of thing that's happening. So we go to the next slide, slide three. The question is, what can you and I do to change the situation that has the appearance of defeat for the church into one of real manifest victory that is obvious to the whole world. What is the most effective method of crushing an enemy? How do we deal with an invading army? What do we do if we want to defeat them? We go for the head. If we can take out the head, if we can take out the flag bearer, we take out the army. And we see that over and over through history that that is the truth. If we want to defeat our enemy, who is our enemy? At foundation level, Satan. That's it. Everything goes back to Satan. So how do we deal with the army of demonic activity and offense and all these things that are coming against us? We crush the head, Satan. We defeat Satan. Now, I need to make it clear to you that Satan is a defeated foe. What Jesus did on the cross at Calvary defeated Satan for all time. But what has happened is we are the army of God. We manifest the victory of Jesus Christ on the earth. But we need to do that. We actually need to walk in that truth. Because what Satan is doing is he's working like a terrorist army. He's sending his little guys in, his terrorists in all over the place to nibble away, to damage, to destroy, to sow lies and deceit. And to overcome that, we need to go to the root. We need to remind that army they are defeated. They have been crushed under the heel of Jesus Christ. So I believe that a key to this victory is prayer and intercession. And I'm going to explain that to you now. I want to teach a little bit about prayer and intercession. But first I want to establish some truths so we've got a good foundation. So slide 4 says, whose side are we on? That's us in the church. And I've written a few points there. You'll see as they'll come up as I speak. As a starting point, we need to agree that the Lord is supreme. He is the creator of everything. There is no one who supersedes our God. He created everything. He created everyone. He had the plan. He was before time and he will be for eternity. He has no beginning. He has no end. That is who we are connected to by the blood of Jesus Christ. I find that quite awesome. It's amazing. We need to agree that he is good, that his plans and purposes for us as individuals and as his body, the church, are good. The Lord promises that he'll protect us. When he promises something, he comes through. He never, 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 never backs down on a promise. The Lord is faithful and true. What he says never changes. I find that amazing. In today's world where you have somebody making a promise in a political campaign, and 2 minutes after he's elected, what promise? Promise? What promise? Yeah, but here it is on tape. Oh, yeah, well, I was just, God is not like that. He's faithful. He's true. What he says never changes. I don't have the time to give you the scriptural foundation for all of this, but I'm sure all of you understand it. But if you don't, come and talk to me. I'll give you some scriptural foundations for that as well. If you're not sure about it, don't talk to your tire salesman or the petrol attendant about it. Talk to somebody in a position in church. Somebody you can see has credibility, somebody who loves the Lord. Talk to them about it. Okay. So we Christians are on the side of the Lord, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Slide 5. We've spoken about this briefly. What is the source of the attack against the church? And we all know, but we need to really understand this. We have a very real and powerful enemy. His name is Satan, or the devil. And he wants you and I and the Church of Jesus Christ to fail. With all of his heart, that's his entire life's purpose, is for us to fail. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It reads, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So he's not a roaring lion. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He's a great liar. Okay. So it's clear that the attack originally comes from Satan. Slide 6. Do we have the authority to pray for protection and for the kingdom of God to advance? The Lord delegated his authority on the earth to us. But note well that it is not just the physical realm. It's not just the earth. It's the spiritual realm as well. He has delegated authority to us, you and me. And he expects us to take that authority up and exercise it. And normally, the Lord will not move unless we ask him to. And that is both exciting and scary. Scary because if I fail to listen for God's voice, he can't act. Exciting because when I do hear his voice and I do ask him, he will act. and I'll actually see the fruit of that. I also find that quite awesome. I want to look at the scriptural basis for this, these statements. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." There's a whole sermon just in that sentence. "They will reign over fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it." Fill the earth and govern it. "Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." I just want to draw your attention to one thing here. God said, "Let us make human beings in our image." And then later on it says, "Male and female, he created them." And then he talks about reign. So ladies, you have exactly the same role to play as any man in terms of reigning over creation, over the spirit realm. Let no one ever say to you that you have a lesser role. You do not. You have just as powerful, possibly sometimes more powerful, because you're much more inclined to pray, in my experience, than men. We like to get out there and get sweaty. Yeah. It's just an amazing testimony that I read a number of years ago. The Second World War was really hectic. I mean, you had the First World War, which was called, what was it? It was the war to end all wars, but there was another thing. I've forgotten what it was, but it was basically supposed to be the last big war. It was called the Great War. And that was it. That was 1918 when it was finished. In 1939, 21 years later, just long enough for a man to grow up, there was the Second World War, where millions and millions and millions and millions of people lost their lives. And the victory was given by the Lord, I believe, to the Allied forces. And when you look at it logically, there was no sense in that. It didn't make any kind of sense. The Battle of Britain didn't make any kind of sense that the German people did not overwhelm the British people in that war, in that battle. And yet they didn't. And one of the keys was lots of little old ladies praying. Praying their hearts out, just talking to the Lord about this situation, asking him to intervene in a situation which was pure evil. And God came through for them. That I find amazing, that the army of God overcame the greatest army that the world could raise up at that point. The same is true today. The greatest army that can be raised up in the world, doesn't matter that the Chinese people can raise up 200 million people. Apparently there are more than 200 million people in the Chinese army. God can sort them out like that. That's who we serve. Okay, power of prayer. In fact, that's a wrong statement. I should never say the power of prayer. When we pray, we unleash the power of God. There is no power in our prayers, but we unleash the power of God when we pray. So, excuse me. So, the second scripture on slide 7 is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's one of my very favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have given all authority in heaven and on earth." Get this? In heaven and on earth. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's a promise spoken by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That promise will never fade away. It will always stand. "I am with you," says Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. I like that. He will never abandon me. So, we see from that scripture how Jesus, after his crucifixion and resurrection, in other words, when he had done the work of redeeming the world, has all authority on the earth and in heaven. This is where the whole thing of the authority in the spiritual realm comes up. In the Garden of Eden, we saw that God gave authority over the earth and all that was on the earth. But here we see that it's taken to the next level, that Jesus gives us authority over the heavenly realm as well. So we have the authority to speak to demonic spirits. Okay. So it's very important to understand that our authority is delegated by God, but if we do not take it up, if we're passive, he will not act, and that's going to be a tragedy. Okay. The next slide is slide 8. So just to sum it up, we do have the authority to pray. We need to exercise our authority over the earth and its inhabitants, that's human and animal, under the guidance of the Lord. That's through the Holy Spirit, clearly. If we don't, we allow Satan to reign by default. Think about that. If we don't take up our authority, we allow Satan to reign by default. That is the fruit of passivity, and that's what we're seeing happen in the world today. So, all of this seems to indicate that if the church is not being protected, we must be missing something. And my opinion is that one of the things we're missing is probably intercessory prayer. And I want to actually talk about define prayer and intercession, just so it'd be really clear about what we're talking about here. Okay. So I'm going to define prayer on slide 9. As an introduction to the concept of prayer, I have a question for you. What are the steps towards a relationship between two people? Come on, there are lots of people here who can answer that. Any idea? Nobody knows. Come on, you know. Sorry? Communication. That's a good one, yes? Okay, let's just take it to the very beginning. First, you have to meet. Would you agree? Sorry? Say again? Yes, exactly. You've got to meet. So you've got to meet, you've got to make one another known. Now, for that, there needs to be a desire for a relationship. Would you agree? So you might see someone and you might think, wow, now that looks like somebody I'd like to know. And then you would go and introduce yourself. And if that person responds in kind, you can actually then start to build a relationship. And the first foundation of that will be that you will actually communicate, mainly by speech, won't you? It's body language and all that other stuff. But you will actually communicate. And if you want that relationship to grow, if you want it to become significant and end up like Adele and Foden, like Diana and me, and like a whole lot of other people, you're going to have to spend time together. Can you imagine meeting somebody today and getting married tomorrow and embarking on a life of marriage which is unbreakable forever with no foundation? It would be the most horrific trial. I can't imagine having to do that. But so often we try and do that with God. We try and come to Him and say, Lord, here's my shopping list. I need this, 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 and this. And actually, it'd be really cool if you'd add another $10 million to my bank account. Thank you. Amen. That's not born out of relationship. It's an abomination. So when we pray, we need to actually establish relationship. So first of all, we need to meet Him. We need to come into relationship. So that's all about salvation. And I hope that every one of us here has experienced that first step. We've been introduced to Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, as our personal Savior, and we've embraced that truth and made Him our own. The next step would be to be baptized in water. It's a step of obedience, and it marks in the Spirit, but before witnesses, that we've actually taken that step of submitting our lives to Him. And then being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that means being filled up with the Holy Spirit, who equips us and shows us how to lead this life. He's actually the medium of communication between us and the Father. Okay, I've got seriously out of my thing here. So when we talk about prayer, we're basically talking about conversation with God. Okay, it's communicating with God. And when you think about that, it's a conversation is not just one person speaking, it's a toing and froing. So when we speak to the Lord, we make time to listen to Him as well. Slide 10, when do we pray? Ephesians 6 verse 18. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayer for all Christians everywhere. So we pray at all times. And I know that probably some of you are thinking, that's impossible, I can't pray all the time. And yeah, in the natural, that is impossible. You can't pray all the time. But that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit, so that we have this gift of a prayer language. We can pray in the Spirit, even sometimes when we're in a situation where we can't speak out loud. We can still pray in our minds. And some people will say, God doesn't hear that. I don't agree. He does. I've experienced it. Okay. The other thing is that it's not like a condemnation thing, like, whoa, I haven't prayed for another, you know, for an hour or whatever. It's about being open. It's about listening all the time to the Holy Spirit's prompting. So when you hear from the Holy Spirit, then you pray, then you respond to Him. That's praying at all times. Okay. Slide 11. For whom do we pray? 1 Timothy 2. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. As you make your requests, plead God's mercy upon them and give thanks. Pray this way for kings and all other who are in authority, so that we can live in peace and quietness, in godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, for He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God, one mediator, who can reconcile God and people. He is the man, Christ Jesus. So there we see from the previous scripture as well, Ephesians 6, it said, pray for all Christians everywhere. Okay? And here it talks about praying for all people, all who are in authority. If we want to enjoy favor with the civil authorities, it doesn't matter whether you voted for them or not. That's not the point. We need to pray for them. That means government, that means local authorities, that means your church leaders, particularly means the greater church leaders. We need to do that. So we pray for everyone. No one's left out. Slide 13, about what do we pray? Mark 11 talks about, this is Jesus speaking, okay? He's talking to his disciples when they notice that the fruitless fig tree had withered. I hope I don't need to tell the story. Basically, yeah, Jesus spoke to a fig tree and the thing withered overnight. And his disciples said, wow, how did that happen? And this is his response. Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life. Really embrace it. And nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying. And it's as good as done. So say, go jump in the lake with confidence and expect it will be done. Okay. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life. And you'll get God's everything. And when you assume the position of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. So we pray about everything. And it seems, you know, small, he says here, ranging from small to large. And when I was first saved, I was probably a bit weird because I had no background of church at all, so I didn't really know what to expect. But I kind of read my Bible and I acted on what I read there. And one of the things was, I was at that time doing a lot of driving. I was contracts manager for a company. I was doing about 100,000 kilometers a year. So I spent my life in my motor car. And I said to the Lord, you know, it'd be really nice if whenever I get to where I need to go, I would find parking. And for 2 years, while I was still on the road, he did that. Whenever I arrived at where I was going to go, it could be the middle of the city, on Strand Street, didn't matter. There would be a parking spot outside the door waiting for me every single time. Now, I ask you, how small a thing is that? And yet that is how interested God is in answering our prayer. That is how interested he is in bolstering our faith and getting us to understand how much he is really interested in what we're doing. Another thing that he did during the same time was, I don't know how many of you know the Western Cape winters, they can be quite hectic. During that time, I never, ever, ever once got wet when I got out of my car to measure sites, because I would be on sites measuring up and then controlling people and so on. Never, ever. I didn't have a raincoat. I didn't have an umbrella. I didn't need them. It never rained. It would stop raining when I got out of the car and start raining when I got back in sometimes too. I mean, that's just crazy. It doesn't make sense. But that's how interested he is. So if he's interested in that really superficial little aspect of my life, come on, guys. When we pray to him about the big stuff, let me tell you, he's on the sides. Seriously on the sides. Okay, so we pray about everything. All right. Okay, so now we're going to talk about intercession. Slide 15. Who is an intercessor? I'm just going to read a couple of definitions here because I like them. The word intercede comes from a Latin word which means go between. It means to plead with one person on behalf of another. Andre used a beautiful picture during the last baby dedication when he was talking about the role of us as church in this baby's life. He was saying we literally, in a sense, take the baby's hand and we connect it to the hand of God. That is the role of an intercessor. I think it's just a beautiful picture because that's it. In Hebrews 7:25, the word has a sense of to confer with, which means to converse or to consult together. And I find that awesome that if we read in, often we read in scripture about how, for instance, Abraham, with the whole thing when he asked the Lord if he would still rain fire down on the city of Sodom if there were 50 people left there. And the Lord said, no, he wouldn't. And he said, what about 40? And so he went down to 10. He actually conferred with God. He spoke to the Lord on behalf of that evil city, Sodom. That's a mediator. That is an intercessor. That is someone conferring with God about a situation. I looked in the Nuttall's Everyday Dictionary as well, and it says there that intercession is mediation with a view to reconciliation. I love that. I think that's just so beautiful. So when I pray for the people who are unsaved, I am mediating. I'm connecting God, in a sense, to them so that they can be reconciled to Him. I don't think there's a greater role that we can play. It's just the most wonderful privilege to be able to do that, isn't it? That we can actually be instrumental somehow in getting God connected to other people. I know that my life, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the prayers of my wife. She prayed. She went to the Lord on my behalf when I was rebellious. I didn't know Him. I didn't want to know Him. But because of her prayers, I stand here today saved for eternity. And every one of you in this room who has been saved, I know, has the same story to tell. You may not know who prayed for you, but I guarantee you somebody prayed for you somewhere, sometime. It's a great privilege and a great responsibility. So we could summarize the definition of an intercessor as a person who notices a problem, challenge, or need and discusses it with the Lord, has a chat with the Lord, confers with the Lord. Okay, slide 16. Why should we pray and intercede for the people around us, the church, and for the people of the world? I put two scriptures up there which I think are absolutely gorgeous. Ezekiel 18:23. This is the Lord talking to the prophet Ezekiel. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die, says the sovereign Lord? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. That's the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord who created everything, speaking about you and me. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. 2 Samuel 14:14. All of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. That's not to say that it's worthless. It's simply illustrating the point of not being able to be gathered up again. Please understand that. But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, He devises ways to bring us back when we've been separated from Him. I just find that so beautiful. He devises ways. He thinks up a plan. He sorts out the situation around you to bring you to Him. That's the God that we love and who loves us. So, slide 17. We pray and intercede for people because the Lord loves everyone. And that means you and you and everyone out there too. Your boss, the person you think of as your enemy, the people who are killing people all over the world for their faith. The Lord loves every one of them. We love people, I hope, I do. I want them to connect with the Lord. Next one. So that blind spots can be eradicated. And this is where church is vital, guys. I know that I wouldn't be who I am today. I know that most of you wouldn't be who you are today if we were not part of church. One of the roles of us in church is to see other people's blind spots. None of us in isolation is infallible. We need each other. When I go to someone and I say to him, my brother, I believe that this is something that you need to work on. And I pray for that person. That is an essential part of intercession. Sometimes we will see a blind spot in someone else, and the Lord will not want us to speak to that person about it, but He will want us to intercede on that person's behalf in terms of that blind spot. And I would urge you, if you see a lack or a blind spot in someone else, don't rush off to them and say, hey, guy, you know, really, you should sort this out. Go to the Lord about it and say to Him, okay, what do I do? You know, I see this, and I acknowledge that seeing that I see it in Him, I've probably got it in myself as well. So what do I do about it, Lord? And listen to Him. See what He says to you. He might just want you to pray about it. And the Lord will work in that person as a result of your prayer. The next one. To draw out the talents or callings on someone's life. And I've seen so often that someone will be born again and somebody will prophesy over them, I see you preaching to thousands of people, you will lead 25 million people to the Lord, and. And this poor person stands there and goes, and then actually the devil starts to say, yeah, come on, you're the man. Get up there, find a microphone, find a pulpit. And actually lights a fire behind this poor person who actually has that destiny. But it's not the time. Lights of fire, they go rushing off, and they try and do it in their own strength, and it ends up in failure. This is why we need to pray for one another. When somebody receives a prophecy like that, those of us who are mature need to instruct that person on how to receive that prophecy. Thus says the Lord. Yes, amen. But then there is a process of arriving at the point that the Lord already sees. And we need to submit to our brothers and sisters in that. That's why we need to intercede for people who have a calling on their lives as well. Every one of us has a calling on our lives. We need to intercede with clear vision. I need to be able to see. I recognize before the Lord, I recognize this calling on that person's life. Lord, will you establish that anointing on that person's life? Will you equip them to fulfill the calling that you have on their lives? Okay, it's very important. And then finally, we're his bride. I think it's there. Yeah, if one member of the church isn't healthy, the whole body is affected. And I know I've spoken about this before, but I want to say it again. How does cancer start? One cell. How does it end if it is not checked? Death to the whole body. Would you agree with me? It starts with one cell. How do we eradicate cancer? We cut it out. The further it's gone, the more we sacrifice to kill the cancer. And that is why we have to be aware. We have to be talking to the Lord, because he knows when that one cell is there, when that one cell is ready to multiply, the Lord knows. And he will tell us if we're listening to him. And if at that point we take that thing out, it is almost painless. Not entirely, but almost painless. But it saves death to the body. It's a vital role that we play, people. Really important. Okay, slide 18. How do we stand against the enemy? 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11 reads, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." You didn't want to hear that, did you? And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. See, that's what it's all about. Called to his eternal glory in Christ. Yay. "After you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." So we resist the devil, and the Lord will restore us. Okay, we need to wait for him to restore us. And yeah, we can shout and beg and plead and stuff, but he will restore us. Okay, and we've spoken about the fact that the devil has been defeated. One of the things that's very important, the next slide is slide 19. We defeat the devil by proclaiming the truth. How do we know the truth? Any ideas? Yes, that's right. It's by knowing God and knowing the scriptures. How do we know God? We know the scriptures. How do we know the scriptures? We read the scriptures. And I know we've spoken about this a lot, but guys, I know that it's discouraging sometimes when we read scripture and it seems dead, but read it and read it and read it, even if it does seem dead. Because while you're feeding yourself with the truth, you're not feeding yourself with a lie, for a start. And let me tell you from experience that doing that creates in you a body of knowledge. We spoke about this in Cell on Wednesday. It creates this body of knowledge that the Holy Spirit can draw on when he wants to speak to you, that you can draw on when you need a defense against an argument. It's there. The truth is actually sitting here in your heart because you've actually read it over and over and over again. So that is where we get our foundation of truth from. From reading scripture, from receiving scripture, and receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the truth. Okay, slide 20. How do we learn to pray and intercede? Well, basically, from other people. If you study for a degree or a diploma and you obtain your qualification, if you were to be released into the world with that qualification, everybody said, yeah, you're a qualified, school teacher. And you were just put into school and said, go teach. I think most of you would agree that that person is going to be pretty dangerous. They have the theoretical knowledge, but they don't have the skill to apply it yet. They need to be put among peers who are more experienced. They need to be put among people who are mature in their particular field so that they can learn to imitate the methods, the good methods, hopefully, that they use. And that's the same for us. If we are new baby in this thing of praying and interceding, don't be afraid of coming to intercession. Guys, that's the best possible place to learn to pray and intercede, is by coming to intercession meetings. No one is going to look at you and point fingers and say, oh, look, that didn't say a word whole night. Nobody will even, they won't even think that. But by being there, it's almost as though you are sitting, or you are, in fact, in a very practical way, sitting under an anointing of people who are interceding and praying. And it rubs off. It's amazing. It just does. It really does. And you'll see how people pray. You'll listen to the words they use. You'll listen to the way they address the Lord. And most of all, you will see the witness of answered prayer. So for me, the best way to learn how to pray and intercede is by imitating, by actually attending intercession meetings, by being where people pray. Come to church a little bit early and come and pray with us in the morning before the service. Come on a Monday evening at Cell when the guys pray. Pray with the people. Even if you don't know what to say, just go and in faith lay your hand on the person with a need and ask the Lord for a word for that person. You will be blown away by what God will do for you and through you in that. Okay. And if we don't do that, then what will happen probably is the Lord will take us into a time of desperate need where we've got no other route but to pray. Okay, so don't let it get there. Right. Slide 21. Some practical pointers. I'll read it off there. I think it's probably clearer. Ask Jesus how to pray. Remember his disciples said to teach us how to pray. And he gave them a form. He gave them an idea of how to pray. Okay. Next one, pray interactively. What does that mean? That means don't just stand there and give God a shopping list. It means Andre spoke about the whole idea of coming into God's presence. It was an absolutely wonderful thing. If you haven't heard that teaching or that sermon, then I would really urge you. It's last week's sermon. It's called Kings or Criminals. Am I right? Yes, Kings or Criminals. Go and download it. Listen to it. It talks about coming into God's presence. It's really awesome. So when we pray interactively, which means we're listening. We're not just babbling. We're actually listening to God as well. And spend time doing that. Next one, pray expecting an answer. So it's not like, okay, I'm going to say this just because it's got to be said. Pray expecting God to answer you. Next one, wait with the Lord. It's not like, okay, I've prayed, I'm going off now, I'm going to go and do my thing, I'm going surfing or whatever. Wait with the Lord. Even if you do go surfing, pray with your ear open to him. Okay, next one. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to his answers. That is so important. We need to be prepared to be surprised by God. You know, he's so much bigger than we are. His plan is so much more amazing than anything we can dream up. And if we don't ask him to show us, sometimes we actually miss his answers because his answers are so way out, so wacky in our terms. Okay, I like that. Thank him in faith for answers not yet seen. Remember when we pray, every prayer that we utter, every word that we speak reaches the ears of God. That's just how it is. That's the truth. So when we've spoken to him, he has heard. So we can thank him for the answers that we've not yet seen. Next one. Position yourself where you should be. I'm sure lots of you have seen the movie Facing the Giants. There's a little scene in there where the hero of the story is going through a hard time, and a gentleman comes to him, Mr. Bridges, and he tells him, he gives him a scripture from Revelation. And the guy rushes after him and he says, did the Lord really tell you that? Yes, he did. And so Mr. Bridges tells him another story, and he says to him, are you preparing for rain? And the hero, Grant, says, well, he doesn't really know, but yeah, he thinks so. So he says, well, there were two farmers, and they were both asking the Lord for rain. They said, Lord, please send rain. It's desperate. We need rain. And then the one farmer went out and plowed his fields, but the other one didn't. Who was expecting the rain? The one who plowed his field. This is what God expects of us, is to move out in faith. So we pray, we know God has heard, we thank him for the answer to prayer, and we go out and position ourselves where that we expect that answer to take us to. That's very, very important. Okay. And then we've already spoken about spending time praying with experienced people. Even if you don't have the boldness to come to intercession or a prayer meeting, just one of your mates, one of your friends, your wife, your husband, just do that. Sometimes it's hard. Diane and I resolved to pray together every morning a few years ago. It was really, really hard in the beginning. But we persevered, and it's now the most amazing blessing. It's not like God speaks to us every morning, but there are mornings when he does, and it's worth it. It really is. Okay, is there any more there? No, that's it. Okay, the summary, slide 22. I just wanted to, yeah, there's actually one thing that I wanted to say to you about that as well. Often we hear people when they pray, they say, in Jesus' name. We'll speak about praying in Jesus' name. And sometimes I fear that, fear is the wrong word, but sometimes I think that one is inclined to almost use it like an incantation or a little spell. You know, if I say in Jesus' name, then God will hear me. That's not what that means. Praying in Jesus' name means praying His will. In other words, I have heard Him, and I'm praying His will. That is praying in Jesus' name. It's that delegated authority that we spoke about. Jesus delegated His authority to me, like an ambassador to a country. The South African ambassador in Chile will say, I come to you, Prime Minister of Chile, in the name of South Africa. And exactly the same way, when we pray in Jesus' name, we're speaking as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, delegated authority. Okay, that's it. I hope that someone out there has heard something that's encouraged them. I want to actually give you a couple of testimonies of answered prayer, just to encourage you. The one was what I shared about Diana and the last mission trip with Johan and company. Another one goes back to the whole thing of our having dominion over the earth, the material realm. And I have told the story before, but it's just such a cool story. We were in an agricultural area where the guys were fruit farmers and vegetable farmers. And one of my good friends farmed very big scale with onions, but they had a very limited area, well, for them it was huge, but it was a limited area of the farm that was suitable for planting onions. And he came to Paul, the pastor in series at that time, and he spoke to us. He said, you know, he's got this real problem because they have a particular disease that's coming to the onions. And what had happened is, it's a long story, but I'll try and shorten it. They had, what the guys do, because it's very cold in the Kohoboko belt, they will contract out the planting of the onion seed to people who are in warmer areas, and then at the right time of the year, they bring the seedlings, which are normally about that high by then, they bring them in and they plant them into the ground so they get a head start on the season. And what they'd done is they had actually planted some of their own, which had succeeded, but they'd also done this as an insurance policy. And they imported these onion seedlings, but on one particular farm, there was a disease, which I can only call in Afrikaans because I don't know the English name, witbol vrot. It's a fungal disease. And apparently, if this thing gets into your soil 20 to 25 years, you cannot use that soil for agricultural purposes again. 20 to 25 years. That is a serious disaster. The problem was that these onion plants had been all mixed up because they hadn't planted from one set into a particular area of this field. And so it was all over the place. And we went out there to pray on this particular occasion. You could see it. Looked across this huge onion field, lots of hectare, I don't know, probably 20, 30 hectare. And all over the place, you saw these little patches with just little spindly things. Tiny little yellow onion plants. And it's a disaster. So now what do? So we stood there in faith with the farmer, with his two daughters, and Paul and me. And we prayed the prayer of faith. We poured out oil on the ground. We anointed the ground. We took authority over this property. And we trusted God. 3 weeks later, Christoph, the guy who is now pastor series, he stood up in front of the church. And he said, I've just had the results back from an analysis. There is no witbol vrot on my farm at all. And we went and looked at that field. And you could not see the difference. There were onions, same level, over that whole field. That is the authority that you and I have in the name of Jesus Christ. When we speak in His authority, that's what happens. And I can tell you lots of stories like that. So don't be afraid. You know, when Diana and I lived on a property, when we moved onto it, it was a beautiful rural property, but it was terribly run down. In the time we were there, we saw how God blessed it, how the vegetation became fruitful. It grew, it became lush and beautiful. 5.5 years later, we moved from that property onto another one. We saw the same thing happen to the property we moved to, but the one we'd moved from, the people who were in authority then were not Christian, and we saw it go backwards, and it's actually become worse. It is now worse than it was when we moved to it. And that's scary in a way, because it actually makes one realize how much influence you and I have over our surroundings, and we need to take that up. It's not about worshiping creation. It's not about finding God in creation. Yes, He speaks. His glory is revealed through creation, but He's not in creation. But we are responsible to be good stewards of that. Okay. Anybody here who lacks faith to pray? Anybody who feels they would like to receive a gift to intercede or pray? I'd really like you to come up and we'll pray for you. Would you like to talk all for us, Corbis? Anybody who wants to pray apart from Corbis? Come on, it's the first step. Come on. Stand up front here. We'll pray for you. Okay. Okay, anybody who doesn't want prayer, bless you all. May the Lord anoint each one of you with the gift of prayer in Jesus' name. Okay, go in peace. Enjoy your coffee and tea. The rest of us will pray.